Pastor Ray Bentley on what God is looking for during the last days.
Our Father in heaven is looking for men and women who will not hold on to an earthly kingdom, but who have heavenly divine priorities, because He wants to bless you if you will be a vessel through which His light and His glory and His prospering and His kingdom can flow.
Spread the news of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice, Jesus is coming. Join the song, sing along, let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. When you're waiting for a table to open at a good restaurant, it's the time spent in the dining room that you're focused on. The time you spend in the waiting area doesn't matter that much. This life is the waiting area for our real home in heaven. And today, Pastor Ray helps us have heavenly eyes as we live our earthly lives.
All right, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, the first two verses. Jesus now predicts the destruction of the temple. It says in verse 1, "Then as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, 'Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left on top or upon another that shall not be thrown down.'" So here the disciples then are going to ask some obvious questions. And they want to know, look with me here in verse 3. It says, "Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives," so talking about the glory of the temple, here's Jesus himself with the glory inside of him, right where the glory once stood in the days of Ezekiel, the prophet. He sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple. And Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him, "Privately, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled?" They ask the obvious question. And apparently they thought, okay, Jesus just said this temple is going to be destroyed. They thought then probably immediately after that temple is destroyed, immediately the kingdom age will come and the Messiah will sit on the throne of David and then everything will be glorious. Well, that was not what was going to happen. So this gave Jesus the opportunity to begin teaching them a prophetic message that is known as the Olivet Discourse. It is in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke. And they all talk about the Olivet Discourse. I want you to remember as we now go into it a little bit that this teaching grew out of questions that were asked of a Jewish rabbi, that being Yeshua, Jesus, by four Jewish men about a future Jewish temple. So that's the context of all of this. And so what he is about now to unveil will culminate in what the Bible describes as the tribulation and then the great tribulation. So beginning in verse 5, it says, "And Jesus, answering them, began to say, 'Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am he, and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled. For such things must happen, but the end is not yet.'" Now listen very carefully to this verse 8. "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows." Or it's also translated, "These are the beginning of the birth pangs." Now, here's what I want to share with you. Jesus is now giving them the answer to their second question. You know, so when will the temple be destroyed? And that would happen in 70 AD. So in 70 AD, God took a step back and allowed the Romans come in and the temple was destroyed. It has remained empty and devoid of the temple for now 2,000 years, even to this very day and to this very hour. When you see all the Jewish people that are, you know, at this wall and they're praying and they're bowing like they do, that is not a wall of the Holy Temple. That wall is actually a wall way on the outside. It was a retaining wall 2,000 years ago. So they are there and they're waiting for the Messiah, praying for the Messiah, and praying, some of them, for the temple to be rebuilt. So they're saying, so when is the temple, their idea would be, when would the temple be rebuilt? Or when will your kingdom come? Or when will everything be restored? Jesus begins answering them by saying this: when you have wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled. These things must happen, but the end is not yet. In other words, there's going to be a long period of time. Well, now we know it's been 2,000 years. There will be national conflicts. There will be one nation maybe going after one particular nation, but the end is not yet. But then in verse 8, he says something very interesting. He says, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, meaning simultaneously the nations and the kingdoms of the world all coming together and going to war. He said that will be the sign that the end of the age has begun. In other words, the sign that the end of the age has begun would be world wars. And we in this last century have had two world wars. This will then be, when there are world wars, Jesus said, the other sign, once there are global wars and world wars, there will also be famines and there will be earthquakes in different places happening simultaneously around the world. He said world wars and famines and earthquakes around the world will be the beginning of birth pangs. And the birth pangs are the birth pangs of the coming messianic kingdom. It means that the kingdom is now about to be born. It's about to be given birth. And so these birth pangs are what the rabbis called the footsteps of the Messiah. When these things begin to happen, they said literally, you can see the footsteps of the Messiah are beginning to make their way and the kingdom is on its way. So the first sign that we are not only in the last days, but beginning of the end of days, was World War I. 1914 through 1918 was a fulfillment, specifically, according to the Hebrew understanding, when Jesus said, when there's nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, putting it into modern English, world war, that means the beginning. And the world needs to wake up and start seeing that the kingdom is on its way, the footsteps of the Messiah and of the coming kingdom are beginning to happen. So that was in 1914 to 1918. Now, historians agree that World War II was in many ways merely a continuation of World War I. How many of you have heard that? It was a continuation of what had begun there. And what's amazing is that both world wars and what happened around them had a decisive impact on Jewish history. In fact, World War I is what gave the impetus to the growth of what's known as the Zionist movement. And it was during World War I, specifically in 1917, that Jerusalem was liberated from the Ottoman Empire. There was a general. His name was General Allenby. And they, you know, the British were coming, and there was World War I, and so there was the Ottoman Empire. The British came to Israel at that time. Their soldiers are coming. They came now to Jerusalem, and they dropped leaflets all throughout Jerusalem. And the leaflets basically saying that Allenby is coming, and that you need to, you know, get ready for what is to happen and not resist and not fight. Well, the saying is that many of the people who read it saw Allenby and thought it was like Allah, and so they decided not to fight, and he just kind of walked into the city. So from a biblical perspective, it's what God was looking at World War I was what was happening in Israel, the liberation at that time of Jerusalem that took place in 1917. And what happened in World War II? Well, 3 years after the end of World War II in 1948 was the establishment of the Jewish nation of Israel. Just again, the epicenter and the impact after the Holocaust and the Germans and the Nazis from World War II was the modern rebirth of the ancient nation of Israel, the Jewish state, which had not been in existence for 2,000 years. Jesus said, when nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, when world wars happen, these are the footsteps of the Messiah. These are the signs that the end of the age. So while in one sense, the last days started with the resurrection of Jesus 2,000 years ago, the end of days really has been an ongoing thing for the last 100 years. So where does that put us today? Well, if the end of days happened with World War I and World War II, well, you see where Israel is in the midst. The Bible prophet said, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all of the world. How many of you are aware there's problems with Israel and Jerusalem and surrounded by enemies? Are you guys aware of that? And it will be so until the very, very end when the Lord comes.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment.
So many listeners have shared comments on what Pastor Ray's teachings on Maranatha Radio have meant to them.
Pastor Ray introduced me to my beloved Jesus, taught me of Jesus's love and how important Israel is in biblical prophecy. His faithfulness to honor Israel shined brightly and will for all time. Pastor Ray was such an anointed servant.
Listener comments are so encouraging. If you'd like to express your thoughts and tell us how these messages have impacted your life, would you take just 60 seconds and write an email? Send it to ray@raybentley.com or post it on our homepage at raybentley.com.
And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now look with me in verse 9. Jesus then gives some specific instructions to believers in the midst of these times, because here's where you and I are today. We see all of this happening, and we're waiting and watching and wondering what's going to happen next. Jesus says, but watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues. Now, there specifically he's talking about the Jewish people and that which they would be charged and they would be persecuted starting 2,000 years ago, but it goes all the way to the very end, believers to the very, very end. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. I love that. He says, you're going to be persecuted, and there will be increasing opposition and increasing persecution, but these experiences will provide powerful opportunities, Jesus said, to witness of me. You may be here tonight going, man, I've got my own tribulation. I got my own persecutions. I got my own problems at work. What's this all about? There's the answer. It is not about your problems per se. It's the opportunity that God is giving it to you. And if you're looking for a way out, here's the way out. Start witnessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the presence of God and the power of God will come upon you mightily. And the Lord says, I will take you before governors. I will even bring you before kings. So persecution will only result in a greater opportunity to proclaim me. It's not about, you know, living the American dream and trying to hold on or build a little kingdom here upon the earth. How many men and women have built their kingdom here upon the earth, only to find out that literally overnight, it can be all gone and taken away. And you put all your eggs in that basket, and then it can be gone. So the Bible says, and Jesus says, don't put all your eggs in your little earthly kingdom basket, but begin even now sowing the seeds of building the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven and the place where you live and where you will walk and where you will know and experience Him. Amen? So if I'm not living for my earthly kingdom, I can't lose. You can take it all away, and I'm not living for that anyway. And if God has blessed me with any earthly material blessings or job, or I own a business, or God's given me prosperity to any degree, I realize I don't hold on to it with two fists where easily they can be pried open and it can be taken away. But I have my hands open and I say, Lord, everything that I have is from you. Can you say amen to that tonight? Amen. Everything I have is from you. What do you have that you did not receive? So Lord, it's all yours anyway. And you therefore use it for your kingdom and for your glory. Let me tell you tonight, I say this from the heart, from the throne of God Almighty, especially with what's happening right now in the world today. Our Father in heaven is looking for men and women who will not hold on to an earthly kingdom, but who have heavenly divine priorities, because he wants to bless you. And he wants to give you all kinds of things if you will be a vessel through which his light and his glory and his prospering and his kingdom can flow. He's looking for silos where he can just pour in more and more and more and more and more. And the more open-hearted you are, and the more that you have your eye on the heavenly kingdom, and it's not about this, and I'm not even in love with this, Lord. As the Apostle Paul said, I've learned to be content with everything. I have abounded and had everything. I've been abased and had nothing. He goes, I'm content. It doesn't matter, because I'm living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's when miracles. You know, God wants to do miracles. He wants to do the miraculous. He wants heaven to literally be flowing in us and through us. But too often, we are so earthly-minded and earthly kingdom-minded and wanting to hold on to this little treasure down here. Look, we're headed for a city whose builder and maker is God, a celestial city, an awesome city, glorious things. So tonight, right now, just say, Lord, forgive me for getting all uptight on trying to hold on to things. Open it up. Open your mind. Open your heart and open your hands, saying, Lord, you can take everything I have away. My breath is yours. Every breath I take, every beat of my heart, I'm yours. My body is yours. My soul is yours. My spirit is yours. I am blood bought. I'm going to give it to you, Lord. And the Lord will say, "Woo! Now there's somebody I can," because see, with the greatest height that we can come to is to be a vessel through which God can flow. And with open mind, open eyes, open ears, open mouth, glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, open hands, open heart, everything that I have, Lord, is yours. Use it for your kingdom and use it for your glory. God will begin to bless you beyond anything you could ever dream or imagine. Because the whole purpose of being in this world with all of its persecution and confusion is to be a greater witness for him. Amen? Most Christians living near Egypt's border with Israel are fleeing their homes after Islamist militants made death threats and gunmen attacked a Coptic-owned shop. Coptics are an old name for the original Christians going way, way back to the early days of Christianity. And photos show desecrated churches and Christian property in the town of Rafah in Sinai. The Arabic graffiti scrawled over the buildings read, "Don't come back," and "Islam is the truth." Now, writing about this incident for the Middle East Forum, Raymond Ibrahim of the Investigative Project on Terrorism noted all media reports describe the same sequence of events. Number one, Christians were threatened with leaflets warning them to evacuate or die. Two, an armed attack with automatic rifles was made on Christian-owned shops. Three, Christians abandoned everything and fled their homes. This is the all-too-common pattern. According to Ibrahim, anyone following events in Egypt knows these three points, threatening leaflets, attacks on Christian property, followed by the displacement of Christians, are becoming commonplace in Egypt. What is the Lord doing? Well, Christians are running for their lives, and we need to remember them and pray for them and bring them before the throne of God in heaven. All that their shops, you know, as they now have to open their hands And as they are under heavy persecution, but they are being, those boldness is coming upon genuine and true believers there, and they are sharing their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is adding divine dreams and visions to the Muslim people and opening their eyes and bringing them into the kingdom of heaven. The supernatural is happening, in other words, in Egypt. That's exactly what Jesus said the pattern would be. So don't be shocked and don't be surprised, as Jesus said, when the world hates you for my name's sake. Look with me and let's close with these verses. It says in verse 10, Jesus said, let's go back to verse 9. But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. That's what it's all about. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you shall speak. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Oh man, now that is awesome. You don't have to worry and you don't have to prepare when you are under that kind of demonic oppression and persecution and pressure. You just be faithful, open your mouth and start talking about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will speak through you. Now brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Now, I believe that that heaviest of persecution Jesus is describing is beyond even our days and goes right on into the very tribulation itself. But those who are just faithful and loyal to the Lord, supernaturally, the Holy Spirit speaking through them, God will be with them and watch over them. I want to close by reading this last scripture. We're going to stop. This is kind of only part one of Jesus' talk on the Olivet Discourse, and we'll pick up where we left off. But let's read the Gospel of John chapter 15, verses 18 through 21. And these are Jesus' words, but let's read it out loud together. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. So here's what the worst thing that could happen is you could start being treated just like Jesus, which means that you and Jesus are in the same boat. I don't care what happens in this world. This is the only thing that I do care about. I want to be where Jesus is. And wherever he is, that's where I want to be found. And if I get someone poking their finger in my chest saying, hey, you're over there with Jesus, I'm going to say, absolutely. I'm with Jesus. And I'm with him now and all the way to the end. Amen.
Great encouragement from Pastor Ray Bentley today from a timely study in chapter 13 of the Gospel of Mark. Glad you've joined us today here on Maranatha Radio. Today's study is titled, For My Name's Sake. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. We hope you'll stop by our site today. When you're there, you can leave a few words in tribute to Pastor Ray's life and ministry. And under Media, you'll notice three words, Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights. Plus, click About and find out more about Pastor Ray and find out how you can come into a deeper relationship with the Lord. And at the bottom of the page, you can sign up to receive Pastor Ray's daily devotions via email, free of charge. Plus, you'll find other spiritual growth books and resources from Pastor Ray, including his new book called The Final Witness, an eye-opening prophetic fiction novel. So many are enjoying the full 5-book series called The Elijah Chronicles. You can too. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also make a donation right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Mark. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.